Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, join us for a special collection of sketches, stories, and songs about space and the meaning of the universe with special guests Hobo Jazz and April Havishankman. Come on, Julie, hurry up. We got to go.
What? Where are we going? What?
There's no time to explain. Just
what
come
is going
me.
On, JP?
It's the future. It's in Jeopardy.
You mean Jeopardy?
No, that's not how we pronounce it in the future.
Wait, so you're from the future?
Yes. 30 minutes from now.
That's a little bit dramatic for just half an hour.
You won't think so when you see what happens.
We're in Jeopardy?
Geoparty.
Trouble?
Trouble.
What kind of trouble?
Just put this tinfoil on your head and follow me.
But what about the show?
We'll just travel back after and our future self will do the show.
Wait, why don't we just do it now, then travel back and go to the future and fix whatever it is?
Well, what do you think I'm doing right now?
Climbing into a cardboard box with tinfoil on your head?
Stop talking and start running. We need to get this box up to 88 miles per hour.
This is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
Thank you, folks. And on the other microphone, my nearest orbiting body, Julie Van Dusen. Space, the universe, time, energy, the very fabric of everything ever. Outward for an infinity and inward just as far. And then the farther we could see, the bigger the telescopes, the farther it went, deeper into an unfathomable expanse of nothing and everything. Oh man, does it make you feel small? Well, don't. You go inside. Inside you is just as deep. All your atoms, your particles, heck, you're made up of space. And that's just the literal physical space. Now, your mind, the mindscape, is infinite too. Yes, inside that monkey head of yours, infinity. Even us dummies. An infinite amount of dumb ideas in there. So strap in, count down. We're going way out there.
And twice as wide, I'll pass the pinhole skies in sparkling lights on spiral eyes, they shine forever high.
A caveman sitting on the edge of a bluff. He looks out over the water. There's no boats, no shore out there on the horizon, no, just blue as far as his big forehead shaded Neanderthal eyes can see. It's the whole world to him. It's the whole universe to him. The stars are just a blanket over the night sky, and the sky is only as high as the highest bird can fly, and the sun, well, it's probably just right there too, right? So, well, he reaches out to touch it. He can't reach. He looks at his thumb out there, and he realizes it appears smaller. Further away equals smaller. Oh, so the sun is really far, really big. He accidentally discovers relativity 150,000 years too soon and goes back and tries to explain it to his hairy friends. He quickly realizes that grunts and uggs aren't cutting it, so, well, he gives up and he resorts to inventing the wheel. And fire, he discovers fire. But he blows the whole thing and has to start all over again when he invents the fire wheel and watches it roll away and turn to ash. It burns up all the supporting evidence. No, it didn't take long for we plucky monkeys to start measuring it, drawing lines from star to star and watching them move around the sky. Pretty soon, the Earth is round. Save for a few YouTube maniacs, the Earth is round. The moon is big, and the stars are that way. Let's go.
And twice as wide, I'll pass the pinhole skies in burning lights on spiral eyes, they shine forever high.
One once we knew that it was out there, space, we wanted to figure out why, or at least how. We think we've got it figured out now, though, right? The Big Bang, rewind the clock all the way back until everything is packed up on the head of a pin real tight, and then boom, everything ever, all at once. And here we are a few billion years down the line, you know, way over to the left somewhere, a little spillage on the outer arm of the Milky Way. So, if the universe isn't really revolving around us then, could there be other us's out there, or them's, I guess? Seems like a whole lot of brouhaha for only one marginally smart species to pop up. All those stars, planets, enough of them to fill up infinity. There ought to be at least an infinity of smartness out there, right? You know, if they're out there, the first thing they'll have seen of us is from television, right? Those waves that drifted way, way out there in the universe. And well, unfortunately, the earliest broadcast from humans was Hitler at the 1936 Olympics. If they ever do arrive, let's just all agree to tell them that that was Charlie Chaplin. We should probably play it safe and blame America's Got Talent on a mad cow outbreak. And while we're at it, we'll just explain that all those tweets are coming from an escaped orangutan. Deal? Okay, deal.
Forever high and twice as wide, out past the pinhole skies, in burning lights on spiral eyes, they shine forever high.
When the outer expanse of it all starts to make your head hurt, well, it's probably time for a little self-reflection. You know, zoom all the way back in on yourself, inside your mind. Whisper calming thoughts to your inner child. I guess that makes us all like Russian nesting souls. I mean, if we have an inner child, like the cliche goes, an inner teen, and then an inner child inside the inner teen, and a baby, then a zygote, but don't go back too far, or you'll be two things. Start a whole other existential crisis riled up on the inside of infinity, right? You don't want that. Well, the scientists don't seem to care too much for the general emotional health of us regular apes, no? They're out there digging away at quarks and blasting particles and tapping into quantum computing, using more than one universe to run a computer, right? In the future, you'll be able to like a Facebook photo and play solitaire on a phone using multiple universes. Ouch. Yes, they're generally making it so the utter smallness is just as daunting as the utter bigness. Is it better to know, or was ignorance bliss? I don't know. Or I know just a little too much. I don't know, so I don't know.
Your sprite is glowing brightly, though it might be low, it might be so, that down inside there is a light for you to shine.
So we're going to get a little far out this week, see if we can't explore the universe a little, maybe find something entertaining out there. Stick around. It's going to be
forever high and twice as wide, out past the pinhole sky.
Our musical guests this week are a great group from Southern California. Ladies and gentlemen, Hobo Jazz.
My bottle lies over the ocean. My bottle lies over the sea. My bottle lies over the ocean. Bring back my pony to me. Bring back my Bonnie to me. Margaret's the queen of the county. Yeah, the queen, she's with me. Margaret's the queen of the county. I guess that make me its king. I guess that make me its king. All the waters they call for her, knowing her she can't say no. All the waters they call for her, calling her all the way back home, calling her all the way back home. Yeah, the phone rang the other day, saying a new love she'd found. Yeah, the phone rang the other day. Off my crown, I say,
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
Guru, can I move now?
Be still, my child. Remember, the path to enlightenment comes from humility.
Yes, Guru, it's just that yes, Master, through humility and silence.
No, my child. It's that you have a very, very annoying voice and it's beginning to...
Yes, my...
Please, now, whatever you do, Don't let that banana fall off your head now, remember?
Guru, please! I am ready to ascend!
Be careful, annoying voice. He who has to go up must expect to go down.
I am ready, Yadav. I have climbed the mountain. I have meditated. I have purchased everything in the gift shop. Sandalwood, sage, Nagchampa, black love. I have cleaned your jaguar, the car, and the cat. I have picked up your dry cleaning. Please, master, I am ready.
Very well, Shorty. Stand before me now.
Oh, thank God! Well, I mean you.
Now repeat after me.
Oh, I can't believe this is happening.
Shh, after me. I am very short.
I am very short.
And a little dumpy.
Guru, I wouldn't say I'm dumpy.
And a little dumpy.
And a little dumpy.
And I have a very annoying voice.
An annoying voice.
Very.
Very annoying voice.
And I can't even remember one stupid thing on a little shopping list, can I?
Oh, but Guru, I brought you your readings.
Oh, does this look like a People magazine to you? Because it looks like an Us magazine to me. You think I read this kind of garbage?
I'm sorry, Guru.
Oh, I'm sorry isn't going to tell me what not to wear, is it?
No. No,
okay, look at me.
All right.
Now, what do you see?
75. Pot belly, bald, big gap in the front teeth.
No, you see a master of humility. I'm telling you, there is no one in the universe who can do humble like me. I mean, look at this body. Look at it go. You see this one, and you see that one, and you...
I'm nothing.
Well, that's right, annoying voice. Now, you must clear another payment. Clear your mind. No, not like this. Because you're stupid and you don't know anything.
Guru Yadav, are those your knuckles?
Yes, my child. Noogie. Now close your eyes while I watch TMZ.
Let's have another song from Hobo Jazz.
One glance at the Jolly Roger, one glance, then the silhouette. He pulled too late for slumber. I reckon it's a coming, it's a judgment day. I reckon it's a coming, it's a judgment day. Your satchel's empty, no end to your plunder. Chew tobacco, then drink that rum down. Find your solace in the arms of a lady. She'll leave you dry, send you ocean bound. Leave you dry, send you ocean bound. Sing now, one glance at the Jolly Roger. One glance, then the silhouette. He pulled too late for slumber. Judgment day, reckoning's a coming, it's a judgment day. Sing yo-ho and a bottle of rum. Don't whine when it's your chest, my brother. Take that short straw when it's your turn, come round. Take that old cup, though it's a bitter going down. Sing now, one glance at the Jolly Roger. One glance, then the silhouette. I reckon it's a coming, it's a the judgment day. Reckon it's a chumming, it's a judgment day. Do I say when I meet my maker, chose a life of piracy? I found salvation in the drops of a bottle, but the rum is all gone, I'm no longer jolly. Rum is all gone, I'm no longer jolly. Sing now, one glance at the Jolly Roger. One glance, then I sail away. Heave-ho, too late for slumber. Reckon it's a coming, it's a judgment day. Reckon it's a coming, it's a judgment day. Hey, reckon it's a coming, it's a judgment day.
Babies dove headfirst off of cliffs, left and right, and they spread their bell-bottom wings to fly, and they crashed into the cold, hard reality ground. The brown acid freak out fizzled, and when left with nothing but everyday life, well, they set out to self-help themselves, or dance in scary cults, karate chi their blues away, and simply positive think things into existence. And then they'd spend the last half of the 70s getting teaching degrees, and the better part of the 80s, giving us kids bad ideas. Church came but once or twice a year for me, usually in the form of an Italian cousin's Catholic wedding. You know, kneel, stand up, sit down, kneel, stand up, drink this, eat that, sit down, kneel, touch your nose. With escaped Catholic parents, well, the closest we got to piety was hot apple a la mode. The old man, he had a bad turn as an altar boy, and it turned him devout skeptic. I think the only thing he might have believed in was wearing sandals over socks. Mom had a softer landing. She went full beatnik, you know, like agnostic. She did hold on to some of the non-religious Catholic traditions, like, you know, chasing us around the house with a wooden spoon and swearing in Italian. One who tries to simply be cannot simply be. And other such one-liners that work backwards and frontwards. Usually told by a vaguely foreign bearded guy. He was probably really from Sheboygan. Well, now, pants are clearly not spiritual. It was obviously muumuus, robes, and loincloths that did it for these guys. And for some reason, a major tenet of the belief was always free love, strictly with him. And it wasn't free. They had to sell flowers by the side of the highway. Me and my tomboy sister Melissa sat at the kitchen Formica table there, just staring at pencils with all our might, our brows furrowed, concentrating, trying to move those pencils. Concentrate? Nothing. Every Sunday, John Davidson would flash an upside-down smile and poison us with ridiculous ideas on That's Incredible. It pervaded the pop culture. Magic powers, the force carry. Even rock bands like Kiss had supernatural powers. Like Peter Criss could fly his drum set over the stage, and Paul Stanley could shoot fire, and Gene Simmons could say really stupid things all the time. So there we sat, trying to move pencils with our mind, like that charlatan we saw on That's Incredible, bursting our brow veins blue, brain shooting out of our ears, and Dad strolls in, closes his eyes, and he moves the pencil by quietly blowing a stream of air out his nose. Someone said that nature abhors a vacuum. I think it was Aristotle or a disgruntled Hoover salesman. I'm not sure which one it was. Anyway, whoever said it, nature doesn't want it, and it fills it up fast. When there's a void there, something jumps right in. So if you put a bowl-cutted kid in that spacey, post-hippie world, a pair of parents in Cathaholics Anonymous, well, that spirit hole is going to get plugged by whatever comes along first. And what better way into a little boy's heart than a little girl? The alto flute played over arpeggioed nylon string guitars, soft focus sheets, you know, breezing in the sunlight, billowing in slow motion with an iron flat-haired natural blonde mom carrying a wicker basket, and then she swaddles a precious baby in a soft summer-scented linen, and so soft and so affordable, the soap, not the baby. So soft and so adorable, the baby, not the soap. And then we come back from the commercial break to Mike Douglas or whatever was on. And I shuffled in 12 minutes late, as usual, to class, 5 hours of sleep from an all-night UHF Kung Fu movie binge, and all the other second graders, you know, looking chipper and well-groomed, and me with a half-tied shoelace and bed head out the back, even past the rows of snickering squares, you know, tucked in and proper, and then wait. There, at the back of the class, a sight for sore, faithless eyes. A dress made out of curtains, and matty red uncombed hair, freckles in all the wrong places, and kid love at first sight. I asked her name. She looks up and she says, Tide. I say, Tide, like the detergent? She says, yes, exactly like the detergent. Of all the little girls to be new in my class, I got the actual Tide baby. This is true. Her hippie parents were so psyched about the cash windfall that they received from selling their kid into commercial fame that they up and renamed her Tide, like the soap. No. But that wasn't that unusual sounding at the time. There was a lot of hippie babies around. We had a Sunshine in the class, a boy named Star with two eyes, and a Dove, and yes, a Tide. It could have been worse for her. It could have been a Borax commercial. My dad's nervous leg would shake under the table as the conversation heated up at Sunday dinner. The table would buzz, and it would get positively my dinner with Andre as the beatnik folks would debate back and forth. And, well, Dad would inevitably go to the nearby bookshelf to wield his favorite weapon, the argument killer, Funkin' Wagnall's encyclopedia. Back then, all the facts in the world were one paragraph each, and Willie Loman sold them to you in a cheap brown suit. And I'd roll around under the table, you know, listening to the pop philosophy resonate the wood, while my bad college sister would be slipping me sips of wine down there. And then back in class the next morning with what I guess would have been a hangover, I'm not sure, just slurring my cursive right off the page and putting my head inside the desk to take a nap, because I stacked a bunch of Kleenex down there for these occasions, you know. I felt a tap on my back bonk. I hit my head, and I come up into the light, and there's cartoon birds, and then stars. Stars all around, beautiful Tide. She says, do you want to walk me home at lunch? We have chocolate cake, and the house is really close. And wait, it's all right. He had me a chocolate cake. I swear, the alto flute from the commercial when she was a baby, it played now with every breeze-blown wisp of red hair and her freckles moving like constellations around the button moon nose. And we walked down the fell lot of maple leaf streets, past the modest Victorians, up to a misplaced crumbler, on up those rickety steps, and into her house. It smelled funny, but well, not bad funny. Funny like my teenage brother's party's funny. Sitar music on one speaker out of that tape player stolen from the library, and then out comes Tide's mom, and then her other mom, and her dad's, and a guy named Larry. And then we eat around the circle. Cake, right? He said cake, for sure. Circle, whatever you want to do, I'm fine. And then everybody sing. And we all sang a song of love and yogurt, I think. It was in some kind of gibberish. I don't know. I just kind of jumped in there. Hold hands. Just let go, you know. There's something about it that, well, it hit that sweet spot, that void. Something called pyramid power that spread around the world. And local news stories hyped it up all serious. And the Toronto Maple Leafs hockey team, well, they took to skating around the ice with one held above their heads before the game, you know, for good mojo. And deep inside of anyone who believed hard enough was the power of the universe to be exploited for your heart's desire. All you need was a pyramid and a lack of critical thinking.
Now, back over Sunday normal dinner,
where we eat the cake after. The old man was on some kind of a run about Picasso or Trudeau or something, and I was down below on a foot smelling high. And I heard above, I heard someone say something about God. So I popped my head up. No, God isn't in heaven. He's in Switzerland. Well, I know because I ate cake with his children. No, it's true. I went home to Tide's house, and I met her mom and her dad's and her Larry's, and they told me all about it. You see, the sun is the father, and the moon is the mother, and they all live together inside Dada in Switzerland. And when I grow up, I'm going to live with Tide and our love children and our lunch cake and our sing-alongs, and there's nothing you can do about it. And so I left for school the next day with very strict instructions never to go over for lunch again. And what better way to push a love-struck kid into the arms of a wanting hippie house and a work of red-headed freckle art than to tell him no? Every day at lunch, we'd sneak over and we'd sing songs, sweet goodness, the void abhorred, and my waistband stretching. I began to know the gibberish chants by rote, and I'd sing along. I memorized the multidimensional commandments. I held hands, and I sang along with mother, mother, father, father, Larry, and Larry every day, and every day with my sweet, sweet Tide. And we promised that we'd do it forever. Forever until one day. When the noon bell rang, I asked her what we'd sing, and she told me the bad news. The family were leaving for Switzerland to be with the father, but we said forever, and I sang the songs too. But just as all blind faith does, it leapt off the cliff with the bell-bottom spellbound and crashed on the rocks and went out with the tide. So I never really believed in anything wholeheartedly again. Except for cake. I still believe in cake.
Ring the bell, follow blind and wide-eyed. Faith on faith, drifting out with the tide. Playing catch with the sun and shooting jacks with the stars back when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, we're happy to have our next guest on the program, an old friend here for the first time with her father, Chickster and April Havashankman.
I ask you this, ladies and gentlemen. Is it a crime to want to be loved? To want to be liked? To want to be wanted? Is it a crime to want to be known? To want to be seen, to want to be a star. If it's a crime, ladies and gentlemen, then it is Hollywood who is guilty. Guilty for being the home to the stars and the starry-eyed. But what, I ask, is the spell that the stars have upon us that make us love them so, that make us want to become one of them? Ladies and gentlemen, I give you our star reporter, Hava Hopper, with the inside scoop. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hava Hopper signing in. Just last week, a young star-struck Scarlet was found dead on the steps of the Hollywood Palace, better known by its pen name, MGM. Clutched in her hand was a blood-drenched letter declaring, "You made me love you, I didn't want to do it, I didn't want to do it," and so on, and so on, and so on. She then went on to list a name of Hollywood's most beloved stars of today's picture, of who today she held responsible for her young demise. I am here live in Lake Arrowhead, California, also known as the Hollywood Hideaway, nestled in the San Bernardino Mountains, where one could find solitude, serenity, and, of course, stars. Yes, stars. The very stars that our young star-struck Scarlett would have died to meet. Oh, wait a minute, she already did. Oh, look, look who's there. Why, it's Mr. Alfred Hitchcock. Mr. Hitchcock.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and Hedda Hopper. Why, it's a pleasure to be here. Of course, it's a pleasure for me to be anywhere.
Oh, look who's over there in the far left corner. Why, oh, if it isn't Mr. Cary Grant chatting up Katharine Hepburn, I don't believe this.
Judy, 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 what's a girl like you doing in a place like this? Why, you look ravishing, sweetheart.
For the last time, I told you my name's not Judy, it's Katharine, Katharine. When are you going to get a ride, Grant? Kate, Kate.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but, oh, look. Oh, I don't believe this. Why, it's Jimmy Durante chatting up Carmen Miranda. Now, that's an unlikely match.
Carmen Miranda! Yes, sirree! What's that fruitcake on your head?
You know something, Jimmy? I've been living in Hollywood for 7 years and a half, and you know something? You know, bananas are my business. Yeah, you know, the... You do the ink and the do, and the ink and the ink and do, and I do the tick-a-tick-a-do.
All I can say is ink a tick a do.
Or maybe I should try it, you know? Try it a little bit, you know, South American style. You know, I said, an ink a ink a do, an ink a ink a do, an ink a ink a ink a ink a ink a do. A chick a bat and jam, a boy a jam, a bat, a
Good night, Hedda. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Oh, I'm right here, Jimmy. Oh, and you'll have to excuse me, but it's Mr. Gable, Mr. Clark Gable, speaking to a young Judy Garland.
Now, see here, baby. You're a nice-looking girl.
Oh, gee, Mr. Gable. Well, I'm sure you have a lot of girls that feel the same way about you, but I just have to tell you about the first time I saw you in the pictures and it happened one night, and, well, I knew right then and there you were the nicest fella in the pictures. I guess it's because you made me love you.
I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, I bid you adieu. Good luck and good night. Hedda Hopper signing off. Good night.
Well, we've got time for one more song from Hobo Jazz.
They say I was just a wobbin' down the county line, oh, wondering to myself, yeah, baby, what I had in mind. Oh, say, break down and call you. Oh, give me some time. Is it stuck, stuck, stuck on the county line? You say I was just a cruising down the avenue. Oh, say, wondering to myself, yeah, baby, what I ought to do. Oh, they ask you out for dinner. That proposal just way too soon. Is it stuck, stuck, stuck on the avenue? Yeah. I'll say, folks, I said it before, and I'll say it again. Is that women make it hard, hard on this man? Either too cold, too hot, or too hot, too new. Baby, mix it up and let the good vibes do. Is that I was just driving down the boulevard? Oh, they wondering to myself, yeah, baby, why I try so hard. Oh, women drive me crazy, man, I'm parking at this bar. Oh, they stuck on the boulevard. Old folks have said it before, and I
I'll say it again. Now women make it hard, hard on this man. It was too cold, too hot, too old to do. Baby, mix it up and let the good vibes in. I was just driving down the boulevard. I was then wondering to myself, and baby, why I try so hard. Stuck, stuck, stuck on the boulevard. Hey baby, I'm stuck, stuck, stuck. Stuck, stuck, stuck. Stuck, stuck, stuck on the
Well, that's our show. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX. You can find
Wendell.
Information about the program
Wendell.
By visiting our website.
Wendell.
Yes, Martha, what is it?
Why do I taste sawdust?
Lemur pellets.
What is a lemur?
Lemur catta of the Strepsirum family.
Will you speak English? I'm not a zoologist.
A primate.
Yes, I am. Thank you. But what is a lemur?
The ring-tailed monkey.
And they make pellets?
No, they eat them.
Well, why do I taste them?
Because you can't resist.
I ate them?
With a knife and fork.
Where?
At the fundraiser this evening.
For the zoo?
We've solved it. Now, can I please get some sleep?
If I know me, and I do, there's a whole incredible story to go along with that, so spill it.
Where shall I begin, Martha?
At the beginning, Wendell.
All right, it was 60 years ago. I met you, and my life has been chaos ever since.
Not that far back, you twit. Oh,
just the last chapter, then.
That'll do.
All right, what was the last thing you do remember, then?
Golden Globes, 1979.
I'll fill you in. Alcohol, career suicide, car crashes, and nudity.
So, business as usual.
There was nothing usual about it.
All right, just start with today.
Well, my first mistake was taking the old MG out of the garage.
What? That thing still runs?
Every Sunday morning while you sleep.
Where do you go on Sunday mornings?
I take it up the coast to Malibu for lunch. You see, every Saturday you overdo it and then sleep through Sunday.
I didn't overdo anything.
No, so beginning the day by flashing that police officer on the highway, that was underdone?
I was subtle about it.
You shouted, "Hey, Paunch, look at these infractions."
That's hilarious.
Oh, $100 hilarious.
For what?
Driving with a loose load.
I'm no load. I am a lady.
You are an animal.
Thank you.
All right. Three sheets to the wind, you out there singing show tunes all the way from here to San Diego.
Yeah, people pay good money to hear me sing.
Where?
Broadway.
Oh, you must be referring to Jaws the musical.
It was the biggest hit of 78.
It closed on opening night.
It is not my fault that the costume stunk.
Why they thought an old lady playing the shark was a good idea, I'll never know.
Da-da-t.
All right.
Da-da-t.
Shall I continue? Can I please continue?
All right. Where were we now? I don't remember.
Well, I was trying to steer the car, and
yes.
You were sitting out front on the hood.
I was ghost riding the whip.
Ghosting the what?
The whip. You just dance around the car.
While it's driving.
Well, yes, of course. Otherwise, it would just be riding the whip, I think.
Well, you rode it all right, straight into a ditch.
Oh, that would explain the road rash.
With all the party looking on, too, the whole gala watching you ride straight into that ditch.
I was trying to make a big entrance. You pull up, me on the hood, big spender on the hi-fi, arms up, big note.
Indecency conviction.
For singing?
Your dress was accidentally tucked into your knickers.
That was no accident.
And leopard print, too.
Print? That was genuine leopard skin.
For a room full of zoologists.
And an ivory necklace.
Well, that would explain the weeping baby elephant.
Wait a second. Elephant. Was I on one?
Hang on, that's coming. You stumbled into the garden, knocking over philanthropists left and right, and made straight for the bar.
Wait, it is not a party without a few cocktails, Wendell.
A few?
All right, 10.
You said you wanted a Cassius Clay to the bartender, and he said, "What's that?" And you punched him in the face.
It is a well-established fact that I float like a butterfly and I sting like a bee.
Well, you floated like a battleship onto that stage there.
Well, where else would the greatest living performer go?
An asylum?
You're just jealous because I stole your thunder.
Well, we were invited so I could perform my original composition.
Oh, please. They just let you sing that stupid polar bear song because you donated a wing.
And you took one from that poor ostrich.
That tramp was trying to steal my number.
You shouldn't have swung the microphone around in front of his cage then.
It is not a big finish unless you swing the mic.
Big finish, sure. You weren't nearly done yet. After your big song, you announced that you were going to take donations for the Vivacious Minx Foundation. Then you proceeded around the garden, plucking earrings and necklaces from old ladies.
Yes, because I don't work for free.
No, it was for the animals, Martha.
What? What would a monkey do with money?
No, enclosures, maintenance, medicine.
I don't think monkeys are qualified to do any of those things.
Well, when we find them, we can ask them.
Wait. I'm seeing something. Riding an elephant, cheering, monkeys on all sides.
Yes, off went your gown.
Excellent.
Up onto the bar, then you pointed at the mare, banged on your chest, and shouted, "Me Tarzan, you lame."
Hilarious.
Oh, and then you dove on him.
Like classy Freddy Blassie.
Oh, sure, classy. Not a stitch of clothing, upside down, clinging to the mare, him running around like a pinball, you taking out fountains, decking old ladies, and then stumbling backwards over the wall into the elephant park.
Go big or go home.
Yes, but preferably not on an elephant. I don't know how, but you managed to mount that beast.
I learned that trick on the set of Broadway Circus 47.
Well, you were a little rusty. Up there backwards, barreling through the fences, across the monkey pen, being attacked from all sides.
The crowd was cheering me on.
They were booing you out, through the kangaroos, out the other side, freeing the entire chimpanzee population.
You just leave a trail of bananas.
I think they were headed for Mexico.
Smart apes.
Expensive apes.
And they're probably just blowing off a little steam in Tijuana. Oh,
do you realize that life is not a Looney Tunes cartoon, Martha?
You did see me riding an elephant naked through a high society ball tonight, correct?
No, touche. But couldn't you try being a little more Tweety Bird and a little less Daffy Duck?
I'm the Road Runner. Everyone else is the coyote.
Speaking of Road Runners, one is missing from the zoo.
He's accounted for.
Wait, what do you mean?
Solidarity. I busted him out.
To where?
The coach house.
Our coach house?
Well, I wasn't going to make him sleep on the couch.
This is a wild animal, and it's loose in our coach house right now.
He's probably passed out from all the Valium.
Well, I'm not even going to ask, Martha.
Well, I just gave him a few to take the edge off.
You do understand that the event was for the protection and the care of the animals.
First of all, where do you think a monkey is happier? Cooped up in some zoo or eating a pineapple on the beach in Mexico? Second of all, I raised more money than anyone else at that snooze fest.
You must have cost thousands in property damage alone, Martha.
Yes, all captured in beautiful streaming color by Randall's phone.
Oh, no. What did your slimy sidekick friend put you up to this time?
Nothing. I paid him $50 to catch the whole thing.
Fail to see how this helps the animals.
Oh, get with it, Wendell. It's all about clicks these days.
What are you going on about, Martha?
You can have a boring party and shake a few rich losers for a couple of thousand, or you can generate a buzz and bring in the real money.
I'm lost.
By tomorrow afternoon, that video will be on every phone and every computer screen in the country.
It's not about you, Martha.
Listen, you nitwit. TMZ gave me $50,000 up front and 70% on the back end.
For a video.
Now you're getting it.
Of you riding an elephant naked through a high society party. I guess I do see the humor in it.
Yes, you and every other human being with a funny bone. And after all those clicks come in, we are going to build those monkeys a nice big new home and the elephants.
You mean to tell me that you conspired to get drunk, destroy that party, take off your clothes, and ride an elephant through a fence, all for some harebrained fundraising scheme?
And a little free press.
And it's all going to go back to the zoo?
At least $500,000.
Oh, well, I hate to admit it, Martha, but
I think you've done it again. I didn't even know you liked animals so much.
Ever since I got my big break when that horse bucked Elizabeth Taylor out of blue velvet, too.
Well, gave her a big break, too, I suppose.
Well, now you owe me one.
I do?
You know, that was hard work.
Well, I suppose it was.
Well, cough it up.
Cough what up?
Oh, you know. Just like every other night.
Oh, you must mean your song.
You know me too well.
Actually, you're full of surprises.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinhole skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say. Though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.